Good evening, and welcome to our Wednesday evening worship here at the Waverly Church of Christ. It is good to have you. I'm sorry I'm a little late getting in, but we're glad that you've joined us this evening. I want to first of all say that if you're watching us from somewhere, please let us know. We want to know where different ones are participating in our Bible class from. And also, if you would like a copy of the outline that I work from on these evenings, please contact us at waverlychurchofchrist.org. And we will see that we get that to you, okay? But we want to thank you, and I appreciate your gracious attention this evening. I want to begin by asking you a question. The question is this: where is it that we as individuals put our trust? And what things do we put our trust? In Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23, God's prophet warned against a wise man, as he said, boasting in his wisdom, or a mighty man boasting in his might, or a rich man boasting in his riches. Instead, what he said is that those who boast should boast in the fact that they understand and know the Lord. So we should boast in that, not in the things that we have. And yet still today, there are many who put their trust in things that are just not destined to last. Many of us as young men may have put our trust in our strength and our agility. A young woman might put her trust in her beauty, but that too will fade. Some trust in their investments. Some may put their trust in their social connections. But the place where all of us should put our trust is in what a psalm speaks about that I want us to examine this evening. It urges us to find our security in the Lord. That psalm is Psalm 91. And while we do not know the author, nor do we know the circumstances around which the psalm was written, it's been suggested that it may have been written by an individual who was about to lead the army of Israel into battle. But regardless of the setting, the message in this psalm is clear. And that message is this: it is that we must find our security, the security of every believer in God, is to be found in God's character, in God's care, in God's protection, and in God's love. That's what this psalm brings out. So tonight, let's just delve right into the psalm and let's see these things that the psalmist tells us about our security and where it is found. He begins in the first two verses by letting us know that our security is found in the very presence of God. And here's what he says in verses 1 and 2. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. I want you to take a moment and look at the first few verses here again. And look at where the psalmist places his trust is placed in the same one in whom you and I should place our trust. It is in God. And the psalmist uses three names here to describe the divine character. He says, first of all, that his trust is in the Most High, El Elyon. It is a term that describes God's strength, God's sovereignty. And then it is in the Almighty, the one that is known in Hebrew as El Shaddai. It is a picture of God as an active, self-existent one. And then finally, he just uses the word God, or as it's found in the Hebrew, Elohim. It means the strong one, the mighty leader, the supreme deity. And we sing a song, a hymn, that talks about when all around our soul gives way, He still is all my hope and stay. That's the one that we put our hope in. That is the one that we put our trust. And He is the one who is our refuge. And the psalmist here utilizes what I might call two images which vividly portray what we might call God's divine protection. He uses the word shelter and the word shadow. In using the word shelter, what he's saying to us is that God is our hiding place. He's where we hide from danger. If you go back to Psalm 32, psalm that was written by David. David says this very thing. As a matter of fact, there in verse 7, he says of God, "You are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with songs of deliverance." This is the way that David saw God. God was his shelter, his hiding place. But secondly, the psalmist here tells us that God is his shadow. And he's speaking about the shadow of a bird's wing. That pictures the wings of the bird as it shelters its young. And it's not only the idea of shelter and protection, but also of comfort, knowing that we're not alone in what we are facing. Having said this, we also see a resolve on the part of the psalmist. He uses certain terms. God is his refuge. By that he means that God is his place to flee for protection. He's where he can run when things get too difficult for him. God is his fortress. He is his castle, his stronghold, in which he can go and find safety. And God is the one in whom, as he says, he trusts. What he means by that is he has attached himself to God, and he's firmly attached to God in the midst of threatening circumstances. You ever seen the small child that runs up when they're afraid of something and just latches around that parent's leg and will not let go? Why? Because that's safety. That's the way the psalmist sees God. True faith for us is committing ourselves to God in the different circumstances with full reliance on His ability to both provide and protect us. And that's what the psalmist is telling us about God. He wants us to know that God alone is the one who protects us when we do something. It's when we live in His presence. He uses these words in verses 3 and 4. He says, "For it is He who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His pinions, and under His wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and bulwark." This divine safeguarding of God is seen, the psalmist tells us, in deliverance from two things. What he calls the fowler's snare. It is the imagery of a hunter who is seeking prey, stalking that prey. It's what Satan does with us. He stalks us. But also, the safeguarding is seen in the deliverance from what he calls the deadly pestilence. It is that life-taking plague. But divine safeguarding is seen in something else, as we see in these verses. It is the safety and the comfort which come from God's covering us in His pinions or His wings. God is like that eagle protecting its young. He will cover the faithful with His feathers, His wings. If you go to Psalm 17, there in verse 8, another psalm by David, there's something that David asked God. In verse 8, he asked God to hide me in the shadow of Your wings. There's a hymn that we sometimes sing that says, "Hide me away, O God, in the day of trouble, neath the shadow of Your wings. Hide me away, O God." That's the idea. And then finally, that deliverance is seen in God's faithfulness. The faithfulness to guard the psalmist from all harm, because that faithfulness of God to him is a shield. It is a bulwark that the warrior trusts in on the day of battle, knowing that it will protect him from the enemy. This is the way he sees God. But he tells us something about those who trust in God, those who have made their lives dwell in the presence of God. Look at what he says in verses 5 and 6. He says this, "Those who trust in God, the Lord will not fear." What is it they will not fear? He says, "You will not be afraid of the terror by night or of the arrow that flies by day." Verse 6, "Of the pestilence that stalks in darkness or the destruction that lays waste at noon." So four things. The terror by night. The time that armies were most vulnerable was at nighttime, when they couldn't see the enemy as it was approaching. And think about that. Who is it that stalks us? Satan. He prowls about Peter says, is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And yet God is our protection even in our most vulnerable moments. Secondly, the arrow that flies by day. The warrior in battle in the days when arrows did a lot of damage. The great fear was the arrow would find a place in the midst of his armor that was weak and take his life. But God protects us even during those times. The pestilence that stalks in darkness, the extreme deadliness of an epidemic. God watches over us even during those times. And finally, the destruction, he says, that lays waste at noon. It is the major calamity that just suddenly smites an individual. And yet, he says, I'm not afraid. Why? Because I've taken up residence with God. He's my refuge. He's my fortress. But in verses 7 and 8, he speaks about this overwhelming intervention of God. Look at what he says. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. You will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the evil. Here, the psalmist depicts for us the extreme situation. Men are falling all around him by the thousands. But the man of faith, though exposed to these same dangers, finds himself unhurt. The danger, whatever it may be, does not come near to him. We must realize that as Christians, strong faith does not guarantee that harm will never come to the child of God. No, that is not a promise that Jesus made. And it is not something that the disciples themselves experienced. But what the psalmist is telling us is this, that while it is possible for God to defend His own in situations where danger seems to be inescapable, there will also be times when God may choose not to do that. Let me give you two examples from Scripture. The one is where God did protect. If you look in Acts chapter 12, there you find Peter has been thrown into prison by Herod. Herod's full intention is to execute him in the near future. And yet what happens? In the middle of the night, God sends an angel into that prison who causes the shackles to fall off of Peter, the prison doors to open. He leads Peter out into the street and tells him to go. God spared him. But then, just a few chapters earlier, at the end of Acts chapter 7, we find the evangelist Philip there, or excuse me, the evangelist Stephen, who has given an excellent defense throughout chapter 7 of the gospel and of what God has done for His people. But we find at the end of that chapter that those people become so angry with Stephen that they literally stone him to death. God could have spared him, but God chose not to. Stephen died as the first martyr of the church. So the psalmist lets us know that there are times when God delivers. And when the godly are delivered, they will be able to see just how God repays the wicked for their wickedness. But the complete security that those who trust in the Lord will know, he tells us in verse 9, no evil will befall you. Look at what he says in verses 9 and 10. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil will be allowed to befall you. No plague will come near your tent. In these two verses, verses 9 and 10, what the psalmist does is he provides us the basis for our trust in God's protection. It is because his readers and those of us who are Christians as well have made the Most High God, who is the psalmist's refuge, we have made Him our dwelling place. And He tells us that because our residence is in God, verse 10, no evil shall befall you, and no plague shall come near your tent. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 3, the Apostle Paul reminds those of us who are Christians that we have died and that our life is now hidden with Christ in God. Long ago, the prophet Isaiah asked a question. Actually, it was God asking the question of his people through his prophet. And we find it there in Isaiah 51, verses 12 and 13. Here's what he said. He says, I am he who comforts you. Now, here's the question. Who are you that you are afraid of man who dies, and of the Son of Man who is made like grass, that you have forgotten the Lord your Maker, who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, that you fear continually all day long because of the fury of the oppressor as he makes ready to destroy? But where is the fury of the oppressor? Look at that. He asked a question. Who are you afraid of? Have you forgotten the Lord who made you? The one who stretched out the heavens? The one who laid the foundations of the earth? As we noticed last week in Psalm 104, have you forgotten those things? That same God is the God who protects you. That is the God who cares for you. That's what we are to remember every day of our lives. And there's an instrument of God's protection that he mentions here in verses 11 and 12. I'm going to read through verse 13. Listen to what he says. For he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands that you do not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you will trample down. You may recognize those verses, at least verses 11 and 12, because Satan quoted them. He quoted them accurately as he sought to tempt the Lord to jump from the pinnacle of the temple there in Jerusalem in order to prove that he truly was the Son of God. And yet Satan misused those scriptures, because those scriptures are not about tempting God. Those scriptures are about trusting in God and living in God's presence and depending upon God for our deliverance and for our protection. Here, what the psalmist is doing is he's reassuring those who make God their dwelling place that God has commanded his angels to guard or to protect them in all their ways. He tells us that the angels will lift up the follower of God in their hands so that he will not trip over any object in his path. And in verse 13, the psalmist uses the illustration of treading upon lions and cobras, the fiercest and most poisonous of animals that perhaps he knew at that point in time. It was a symbolic way of saying that God cares for us in the worst ordeals of our lives. And he uses his angels at times to do that. Let me share with you a couple of examples from the Old Testament. Both of them, I am sure you are familiar with. One is found in 2 Kings chapter 6, specifically down in verse 17, but I'll give you a little bit of the background. The king of Syria is angry with the prophet Elisha because the prophet Elisha is telling the king of Samaria where his army is about to be attacked next by the armies of Syria. And so he prepares him so that the king of Samaria can make sure his armies do not go there. And so the king of Syria sends an army composed of horses and chariots and soldiers to bring back Elisha. And we learn that they have surrounded the city of Dothan where Elisha is living. And there is a response that God provides that can only be seen by the eye of faith. And when Elisha prays for his servant to be able to see what he's able to see, suddenly he recognizes that the mountains are full of horses and chariots of fire. These are the angels of God that have been sent by God to protect his servant from the armies of Syria. But another one that you're familiar with is in Daniel chapter 6. There, Daniel, there are these enemies of Daniel who are his co-workers who do not like him. And so they've worked out a way in which to entrap him in his faithfulness to God. And as a result, he's thrown into a den of lions, and he was to remain there all night until he's dead. The next morning, when Darius comes to have the stone removed and calls out to him, Daniel tells him that he's okay. And he tells him why. That the Lord has sent his angel and shut the lion's mouths. It's what God did through his angels. If you look at Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, what we find there, what we are told, is that the angels are ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation. It's those of us who are Christians. And God is our protector. In the last three verses, beautiful passage in which the psalmist speaks. It's actually God speaking here. And it's his promise to those of us who trust in him. Listen to what he says. Because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high because he has known my name. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With a long life I will satisfy him and let him see my salvation. As I said, in these three verses, God is speaking and he informs us as to what he will do for those who, as he says, love him, know his name, and call upon him in a time of trouble. What is it he will do for us? He promises to deliver us, to protect us, to answer us, to be with us in times of trouble, to rescue and honor us, to satisfy us with a long life, and to let us ultimately see his salvation. So let me ask you, as we draw all of this to a close, do you love God? And if your answer to that is yes, the second question is, do you know him? Do you know and understand God? Are you living in him? Have you made him your dwelling place? Is he your refuge and your fortress? If your answer to these questions is yes, then know this. He will protect you from all evil. As the psalmist says in Psalm 121, verses 7 and 8, he will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. But I must also ask this. If you do not know God in this way, let me encourage you to put aside everything that stands between you and him. Come to him in obedient faith. Believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to God and that your salvation is found in no one else but him. And then be baptized in order to wash away your sin. And then live the life that God really created you to live and know what it's like living in his presence. If we can help you with this, if we can help you in obedience to God, If we can help you by studying God's Word with you even more, please don't hesitate to contact us here at the Waverly Church of Christ and know that we do care for you and we want all that God wants for you, all that is best in your life. But thank you for spending this time with us tonight and studying His Word. And may God bless you and keep you during this time.